Megillah is a lashon of Hiskalus, and that our whole life and all of our collective lives is one big Sipurei Maaseos story, one big story. And there are scenes that look essential and scenes that look inessential. But the reality is that every moment of our life is Bashkacha Pratis, and Amalek wants us not to believe that. And we learned the amazing words of the Rambam in his letter that Yeravim ben Nevat, the wicked Yeravim ben Nevat, is going to be held accountable for not making an Erev Tavshilin. But he did it with a Zara, but he's still held accountable for Erev Tavshilin. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for a Jew is such that he never gives up on him, and everything he does matters. And Amalek is mamish the opposite. Amalek is the one who says nothing matters. Big things don't matter, small things don't matter, nothing matters. And we hold the opposite. We hold the opposite. And that's what Amalek's trying to do. Vayizanev b'cha. Like we explained, they're trying to damage that deep kesher. We ended yesterday with a few Muslim that b'cha is one of the code words of Purim. B'cha is gematria 502. Right? Ar Haman is 502. Baruch Mordechai is 502. Amunah Pshuta is 502. The lives of the Avos are 502. Kihem Chayenu Baruch Yemenu is 502. All the things pointed out, Yehuda pointed out after Shir yesterday that Rabbi Akiva was waiting his whole life. Right? Rabbi Akiva said, my whole life I'm waiting to be Mekayim B'chol Nafshecha. To be able to give up my soul. Right? And the Talmidim say, well, I don't understand. What? You're gonna give up your life? You're gonna give up your life? This is Zu Torah v'Zu Schara? And what is Hashem's response to Talmid Rabbi Akiva? What's Hashem's response to the angels when they have tainas on how Hashem runs the world? Kach olav machshava, this is part of my master plan. Kach olav machshava, we said, is also 502. And Rabbi Akiva was waiting his whole life to fulfill which words? V'ahavta es Hashem lokecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol navshecha, v'chol modecha. I want to be able to what? I want to be able to give my nefesh, to give my life for Hashem. Rabbi Akiva died al kiddush Hashem. So we said, b'chol nafshecha is also 502. There's a lot more I want to say about this, but I'm hoping we'll prepare a shir. I spoke to Rav Gerzi on the phone for an hour yesterday. And he was megala a lot of big secrets, a lot of very big secrets about Purim, which I hope to share with you. I want to organize them and develop them. And it has a lot to do with b'chol nafshecha. It has to do a lot with giving your life, being able to surrender your life. Not to put the drinking of Purim, but it's not chas anyone should die, God forbid. Be very careful. Right? But a surrender of one's control as a way of giving over my whole being to Hashem. That's a lot of what the drinking of Purim is supposed to be if done properly. Okay? So let's continue with the bottom paragraph on page Kuf Samach Beis. Harav HaKadosh Rav Meir Mipremishlan. A Torah from Rav Meir from Mishlan that our Rebbe Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter likes to quote. He has it in several of his Sfarim. It's a very important Torah about our generation. So listen carefully. The Holy Rav Meir of Premishlan, Amr al Mash Amru Chazal. The Gemara tells the following story. It's a Gemara in Maseches Tanis. Shrabi Lazar ben Rabbi Shimon Nasa Rabo Lilmo Torah. Now let's just do a little review for a second. Who is Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Shimon? So, if you remember the story, which you do, from Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel, the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai spent 12 years in a cave, running from the Roman government. He sat there with his son, Yomam Belayla, learning Torah. And when he came to the cave after 12 years, bad people, weren't evil people, they were plain people, regular people. And what were these regular people doing? They were plowing. They were planting. They were doing things that people do. There's a machlokas in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Hayam and Beis. How should a person spend their time? Should a person learn all day and never do any type of work in their field? Or should a person work in his field and also learn? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, learn and learn and learn and learn and learn, and the world will take care of you. Rabbi Yishmael says, strike a balance between the two. The Gemara says, many did like Rabbi Yishmael, and were successful. Torah Mada. Right? The many who struck a balance between getting a job, providing for their family, living a life of Olam Hazeh, but at the same time, being a Ben Aliyah. and they were very successful. There were those who did like a Rishum Bar Yochai, who tried to throw themselves entirely into the world of Torah, and lo al sabiyadim, it didn't work for them. They were not successful. Rishum Bar Yochai's derech is not for everyone. Rishum Bar Yochai, that's the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hay. So here, in Shabbos, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis, we learn a little bit about how Rishum Bar Yochai himself lived his life. 12 years he sat in the cave, learning Torah Yom V'Layla. Finally, he comes out of the cave, and he sees people plowing and planting, and he says, "Ugh, he's repulsed. Menichin chaya olam ba'oskin b'chaya shah. They're abandoning chaya olam. They're abandoning Torah and mitzvos. They're abandoning olam haba. They're abandoning a life of spirituality for a life of olam haza. Oiskin b'chaya shah. They're involved in the things of this world, chaya shah, in the temporal world, the world that doesn't last forever." And he was disgusted by them. Now this is Rabbi Shimon and his son, Rabbi Lazar, who we're about to learn about. Wherever they would look, they were burning things up with their eyes. Kadosh Baruch Hu was not so happy about this. And a bas kol came out and said, "Lecharev olami yatzasem. Did you come out of the cave to destroy my world? Chizru l'ma'arascham. Go back to your cave." So that's what they did. They went back to the cave. They sat there for one more year. And when they came out at the end of that second year, Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, still had a very intense, fiery way about him. And when he would look at things, he would damage it with his eyes, burning it up with his eyes. And Rabbi Shimon would look at it and he would heal it. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's perspective changed. It's interesting, the Achronim discuss, how does this Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, changing his perspective on people working, and that Gemara that I mentioned in Brachos Lamed Hay about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, learn all day. After he came out of the cave, did he himself change his shita? Did he himself switch over to Rabbi Shmuel's track of, you know, learning and earning? It's an interesting question. You have a Gemara in Menachos also, in Perek Shtei Alechem, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's shita about learning is also seems to be a little more balanced. But Rabbi Lazar, his son, was still on fire. He couldn't understand how anyone could do anything other than sit and learn Torah all day. So it's this Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Shabbos Lamed Gimel, who we're about to learn about in a very, very intense story. Okay? So let's take a look. Says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, a famous story. From the Gemara in Maseches Tanis, about Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Shimon, this is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Nosa l'rabo l'ilmo Torah. He traveled one time to his Rebbe to learn Torah. V'kana harbe Torah. And he learned a lot there. He acquired much Torah there. U'kishachazer l'beiso rachav al hachamor. When he was returning to his home, he was riding on a donkey. Now just metaphorically, riding on a donkey, in the language of the Maharal and many other Balei Machshava, always means, chamor is a lashon of chomer, of substance. Chumrias, physicality. What does it mean to be roichev al hachamor? You're in control of your physicality, right? You're able to dominate your chumrius. You're in charge of the chomer. In other words, his neshama was riding on his guf, so to speak. He was really shtark. Coming back from yeshiva, he came back, you know, tzitzis out, davening jacket, black hat, the whole thing. V'haya sameach ad ma'od al kinyanei Torah asher kana. And he was very happy with all of the Torah that he had acquired by his Rebbe. And on his way back, he saw a person, not nice to say, who was michuar, who was ugly. He saw an ugly person. A person who was not an attractive, physically attractive person. So he said to the guy, "Wow, you are one ugly guy." It's a strange gemara. So the fellow was not fazed. And he knew he was talking to an Adam Chashuv, Lazar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, not Stam. He said, "Lech liyotzer shabarani. Go to the one who created me. You think I'm ugly, right? You think this is an ugly work of art, so go tell the artist. In other words, go tell the creator. Go complain to Hashem, what do you want from me? Hashem made me look this way." V'hadvarim afliyim. Such a strange gemara. Really, one of the hardest gemaras to understand b'derech hapshat. How can Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon? How can a person who's a student of Rishon Bar Yochai, a son of Rishon Bar Yochai, a student of the greatest tzaddikim, a very dedicated Talmud Chacham, and yet to have such a lack of midos tovos to say to a person, wow, you are so ugly. How can he say such a thing? Advar mafli and v'chir v'lazer Rabbi Shimon lo yada sha'ikr hu aneshama, and all the more so. You're riding on the donkey, and again, I'm adding this part a little bit, but you're a person who's neshama dick, so who cares about the body? Since when do you care about a person's physical appearance? If you're so spiritual, if you're so spiritually inspired and religiously inclined, so who cares what he looks like on the outside? You don't know anything about this guy. V'chi adam nibdad al pi tzuraso. By a tana, by a tzaddik, that's what he looks at. He looks at a person and says, you're not so handsome. What does that have to do with anything? How is that relevant? The neshama is what matters. V'halo meduber kan revelazer ben Rabbi Shimon. Sha'amar alav aviv. This is what his father said about him. What Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said about himself and his son in the Gemara in Sukkah. Shem yesh bedor shnei tzadikim. Harei zehu revelazer beno. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai testified, he said, if there are two tzaddikim in the world who hold up the whole world, it's me and my son. And yet this same son has such terrible midos to say such a thing to someone. B'derech ha-pshat, it's a very hard Gemara to understand. So what was Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon saying? Explains Rabbi Meir of Premishlan as follows. Mavar Rabbi Meir mi Premishlan zuchuso yagein aleinu. Rav Meir of Premishlan explained, She'ein hakavana adam mechuar b'chitzoni yaspanov. This was not a fashion contest. There's no way that Rabbi Elazar was describing the physical appearance of this Jew. Elisha adam zeh haya er lecheyid gadol. This was an emunah pshuta type of yid. A simple, erlich, sweet yidl that he met on the road. V'rav Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. But when Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was observing him, spiritually observing him, he saw shekol pam hu na'amod levarich bracha, v'kodem kol mitzvah harayu osa tenuos v'rosha uve'enav, u'mitno'eya bekam v'kam tenuos. He saw this Jew, when he would daven, when he would make a bracha, right? It was so hard for him to have proper kavana, and he wanted so badly to be able to have pure and holy thoughts during Shemona Esrei, that he saw him during Shemona Esrei, he saw him making these crazy motions with his body, like smacking himself in the head, like trying to, like, you know, pump in his arms and flailing his body. And he could see he was struggling, doing these strange tenuos. Tenuos means movements. Strange movements with his head and his eyes and trying to, like, you know, trying to gain control of himself to be able to stand before his creator. Until he was finally able to daven Shemona Esrei. He used to go, he saw him fighting with his body to be able to stand before his creator. Top of page Kuf Samach Gimel. So he said to him, what's this guy's problem? What's his problem? Why is he shuckling so hard during Shemona Esrei? What on earth is going on in his head that he can't, like, get it together? He looks so strange. He looks mechuar. He looks weird. Is that how a Jew talks to Hashem? Right? Flailing his arms like that. Is this the way that a Jew stands before Hashem? So the person said back to him, Lech l'misha barani. Go to the one who created me. What does that mean? He was saying to him, Rabbi Elazar, who are you? Where do you come from? Who's your dad? Right? Rishon Bar Yochai. So he says, right. And he says, what type of neshama was given to you through your father? If you look in the beginning of the Tanya, it says that the intentions of the parents, b'shas tashmish hamita, when the parents are being intimate, and the woman is becoming pregnant at that moment, right? At that moment of conception, the kavana of the husband and wife being intimate with each other is going to impact the type of neshama they bring down to this world. If they have holy thoughts, if it's not about their own physical pleasure, but it's about being able to bring a Jewish soul into this world, to serve the creator of the universe, that impacts the type of soul. So your father, Yishuv Bar Yochai, right, when you were conceived, had the loftiest kavanas, the greatest intentions. Your father brought down a beautiful soul. And that's who you are. That's you, Rabbi Elazar. Ata nolata etzel avicha agadol Yishuv Bar Yochai. You come from Yishuv Bar Yochai. Not only that, not only was your neshama from the start given a good jump start, but you were raised at Yishuv Bar Yochai's home. You spent 12 years in a cave learning Yom V'Layla with your father. You just came back from more years in yeshiva. Kishaata nambud le'espal shmona esrei, me'irim l'cha kol olamos. When you daven shmona esrei, all of the heavens are illuminated before you. For you, you stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you know what you're doing. V'chol mitzvah shata oisam me'ir l'cha or. When you do mitzvos, there's a pathway illuminated before you to tread upon. So you're mekusher to Hashem yom v'layla. But this Erlich HaYid on the side of the road, selling bagels or whatever, you know, schlepping milk bottles to make a couple of pennies to provide for his family, this schleppy Jew said, Aval ani nolati etzel av pashut. My father was a simple villager, a simple person. Vani malei beklipos v'zuama. And therefore my neshama was brought to this world with much klipa, many husks, many shells. Zuama, much impurity. I'm battling the sitra acha with every step I take. She'ein noistim li limud l'espal. Do you know how hard it is for me to get it together, to learn, to daven? So for you to look at yourself and say, you know, why is this guy struggling so much to do mitzvahs, to daven with kavana? Why is he swinging his head back and forth, trying to clear his mind in Shmoneh Esrei. What's going on in there? And yes, I need to do all these strange movements in order to gather myself. There's no other way for me to get it together, to be mechaven. And I care to be mechaven. I don't want to have machshavos zaros during tefillah. I don't want my mind drifting off to the basketball game I watched last night, or to the paper that I have coming up, or the test in the class, or the summer internship that I'm busy trying to figure out how to get my rep together for. And when those things pop into my head during Shmoneh Esrei, or worse, I try to shake them out. I try to strengthen myself. I try to, you know, when the donkey's acting up, so to speak, when the choymer, when the chumri is, when my goof is stopping my neshama from being able to be what it's supposed to be, a fight. If it looks like I'm in the middle of a wrestling match in Shmoneh Esrei, it's because I am. Right? As opposed to the nachala b'li meitzarim, a portion without boundaries. I'm a nach portion in this world is with a lot of mitzarim, with a lot of mitzrayim, with a lot of suffering, with a lot of boundaries, with a lot of blockage that I'm trying to plow through. V'zeu leich l'misha barani. And that's what it means. Go to the one who created me. In other words, think about where you come from. Think about where I come from. You come from a world that's kulo neshama. Your father's Yishuv Bar Yochai. Your father is Shabbos. Your father is called Shabbos. There's certain tzaddikim whose neshama is called Shabbos. On Shabbos, you don't do malacha. Yishuv Bar Yochai was not mekusher to malacha, to malachas olam hazeh. He's a Shabbos dikah Jew. Shabbos is referred to in the Zohar as yoyma dinishmasa. The Talmud Yerushalmi says in Masech HaShabbos in Perek Tezvav, Shabbos is a day that's supposed to be Kula Ruchni. It's a day that's, it's a Torah Dika day. So that's your world. Who was Yishuv Bar Yochai's Rabbi? Rabbi Akiva. What's the Gematria of Rabbi Akiva? 395, Gematria Neshama. You come from a world that's Kula Neshama. You're not from this world. Rabbi Akiva's Gematria Neshama. Rabbi Akiva is 395 Gematria Neshama. That was the Rebbe of Yishuv Bar Yochai. Right? So your spiritual grandfather was the most Neshamadik person ever. Your father was a Shabbosdik person. Right? And you, Rabbi Lazar, yeah, who lived in a cave, sustaining yourself for 12 years off of water and carob, right, are clearly not a person who's so connected to regular people who once in a while, you know, like to get Golan. Right? We wouldn't survive for 12 years in a cave with carob and water. But for you, you didn't care. Because you're a neshama dika person. So just understand, leich lemisha barani. It's not just, you know, go to Hashem who created me. Look who my father was. My father was a pashut. My father was a pashut person. I don't come from Yichus. I'm a regular guy, right? And therefore, in a certain sense, I'm much better than you because I'm fighting, I'm struggling, I'm trying. And the end of the story in Maseches Tanis is that it was revealed to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that actually this Ish Mechu'ar, this Adam Mechu'ar, was in fact not an Adam at all. It was Eliyahu Navi, in the appearance of an Adam. Shabbat l'lami to Rabbi Elazar limudzeh. That he came to teach Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, never to look down on a broken Jew. That's an Amalek Dika attitude. Who did Amalek attack? I'll say it again. What's the pasuk in Kitei say? Vayizanev v'cha. They attacked kol ha-nechashalim acherecha. Nechashalim, chalash, means what? What? Yeah. Nechashalim means what? The weaklings. Chalash. Amalek targets those who are weak. They try to take advantage of the Jews who are not strong. The nechashalim. Nechashalim. Kol ha-nechashalim. The Baal Turim says ha-nechashalim has the letters nachash and Mila. People who've succumbed to the taiva, the temptation of the Nachash. People who struggle with Pagam HaBris. People who give in to temptations. Right? Or people who are the recipients of their neshama through someone else's Pagam HaBris. Through a parent who didn't have proper kavana, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had when his son was being conceived. So therefore he says to him, Eliyahu is saying to him, but look at this Jew. For all his shuckling, for all his, you know, trying to get it together, Hashem says, that's beautiful. Look how hard he's trying. Rabbi Elazar was being taught, Shekishaholech lo hakol b'meisharim, yachol lishkavach es ha'adam ha'shavar. When everything's going smooth, meisharim, when everything's yashar, it's easy to forget the Jew is struggling. And by the way, the Jew is struggling could literally be your sibling, it could be your roommate, right? It could be the guy who you see all the time, but you're so caught up in yourself and your own spiritual growth that you forget that the guy next to you, his mom is going through a hard time. And you're not reaching out. And you're not giving him a phone call. You're not sending him a text. You're not stopping by. You're not going out to lunch with him. So the point of the story is revealed to us to teach us the greatness of every Jew. That it's not a religion where only the Gedolim, the greatest, you know, the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's, the perfect Jews, so to speak, are the ones who matter. Every Yid matters. Sheyesh ben bilbulim vehem misyashim. V'gil alo hadavar sheyeda beiz ofen yesh lachazik b'nei Yisrael. There's going to be Jews who are struggling. There's going to be Jews who want to give up hope. But we need tzaddikim not to look down on us, chas v'shalom, but to lift us up, to believe in us, to strengthen them. Ayidei sheyeda gedulasim. Hashem gets tremendous pleasure kashadim mavakish lavdo. Vein holich lo. Vereyu mitzdar miza. This guy's trying. It's such a chashev thing. Halo zehu hamlacha shein kamohu. What better way to be mamlacha kadosh baruch hu? Chaver, I'll tell you an amazing vart from Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Simple question. Pashut a question on last week's parsha. What's the first thing Hashem ever said to us at Har Sinai? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, who did what? Hashem Tzisicha, Meretz Yitzrayim, Mibes Avadim. I took you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. What's the famous question the Rishonim already asked? No. Why not say I'm God? Very good, Jeremy. Why not say I am God who created the world? Why not go big? Why not say, I didn't just take out of Yitzrayim, I'm God who's responsible for everything. Why did Hashem limit himself to saying, I am Hashem who took you out of Yitzrayim? So Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin in the Pre-Tzadik has an unbelievable answer. Rav Tzadok says, because if it would have said, I am Hashem, your God, right, who created the world, think about it. Bereshis Bara Elokim. Rashi says the original plan of sorts was that what? Was that Hashem wanted to create the world with Midas Hadin, which means Hashem expects excellence, perfection, Midas Hadin. No negotiations, no wiggle room, no rachmanis. You know? It's like, I don't know, first year of law school. You know, we're trying to like, Avdil, trying to like separate, you know, the guys who are going to make it from the guys who are not. No rachmanis. If you can get through that, then you know, then so to speak, you've earned it. So Hashem wanted to make a world where, you know, no rachmanis, no chesed,
No rachmanis. Bereshis bar elokim. Midas adin. Be great or don't be a part of this. The reality is, of course, and what that means that Hashem changed his mind is a big sugya, but it means, on a certain level, that Hashem presented it that way with the intention of overturning it. And eventually Hashem says, you know what? Hashem elokim. Yudke vavke elokim. Chesed with midas adin. It's not a free-for-all, but we need a little rachmanis. Or no one's going to make it. No one's going to be able to live up to your standards. Not everyone's going to be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Not everyone's going to be Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. It's unsustainable. So says Rav Tzadok, if it would have said, I am Hashem, your God, who created the world, what might we have thought? It would have implied, I am Hashem, your God, as long as you play by creation, by the rules of creation, Bereshis Bara Elokim. Meaning, if you're good enough, I'll be your God. Or said differently, Bereshis Bara Elokim, maybe from your Bereshis Bara Elokim. If you were a perfect little tzaddik from the time you were a little kid, you know, and you didn't get yourself into any trouble in elementary school or high school, you were just, you know, that kid who was always doing the right thing, always loved learning Torah, always stayed out of trouble, always, you know, spent time with the right crowd. And when your parents came for parent-teachers conferences, they said, oh, we have nothing to say about your child other than his praises. Yeah? So you would have thought, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem your God, from Bereshis Bara Elokim. I'll be your God as long as you're perfect. But what happens if you end up in Mitzrayim? Then Hashem's not interested in such a Jew, right? You could play for like a minor league team. The Jewish people we're the greatest team. We want the greatest players. We're not interested in guys who are falling apart on the 49th level of Tumah. So in response to that, Hashem said at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. And I know where you're coming from. I'll be your God even when what? When you're coming out of Mitzrayim. I'm not only your God from Bereshis Bara Elokim, not only your God from creation of the world, from that perfect vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for creation, or the perfect hopes that Hashem had for you. Like the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Baruch Atah B'Vo'echa, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, just like you came to this world pure and innocent, halavai you should leave this world pure and innocent. That's a hard Gemara. Right? Thank God there's something called tshuva. We can clean up our mess along the way. But to think that I'm going to leave this world as sweet and innocent as that little baby I was on the day of my bris milah, right? It seems like an impossibility. That doesn't seem realistic. So Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzisichem eretz Mitzrayim mibeis avadim, that I will be your God wherever you're coming from. I'll be the God of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, but I'll also be the God of this Shleppi Yid on the side of the road, davening mincha b'yachidus in between, selling his bagels, and struggling like a crazy person because he can't concentrate otherwise. I'm his God also. And God forbid, think, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that you have more sheiches to me, that he's mechu'ar, that he's repulsive, he's ugly. In a certain way, he gives me more nachas ruach than you because he's fighting for it and you had it handed to you on a silver platter. From your father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. From your spiritual grandfather, Rabbi Akiva. God forbid to look at that. That's a Malik mentality to say these Jews are weaklings. Let's take advantage of them. That's how a Malik attacked. That's how a Malik comes to fight. Okay, let's go on to the next paragraph. Such a chash of Torah from Rabbi Meir Miprem Shalan. Hayadeh Torah miskala hevdel bein tov l'ra. So how do we keep our heads on straight? So Purim, let's remind ourselves, perhaps more than anything else, is a Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satorah. It's the reacceptance of the Torah. It was that turning point in Jewish history where we went from being people who were forced into keeping Torah to Jews who chose Torah, lovingly chose Torah. Says our Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, if you want to find a way to navigate the darkness and to overcome a Malik, you have to be connected to Torah. When did a Malik attack? Right on the cusp of receiving the Torah. They tried to stop us from getting to Har Sinai. Because a Malik knows if you have Torah, it's the antidote to a Malik. Kinekan bolameinu hu olam hatmuros. Interesting word to use. We live in a world, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, which is a world of tmuros, exchanges. Rabbi Nachman has a story about the exchange children. What does it mean, the world of exchanges? What does he mean by that? He means what we've said many times, the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun, Olam Hafach Ra'isi. A world where things which should be obvious are seen totally backwards. Tamuros, where things are exchanged. Where people label good as evil and evil as good. Right? When people praise those who reject God and mock those who believe in God. It's a world of exchanges. Kamosha Amar Yishaya Navi, which by the way has to do with, again, the irony of all the exchanged clothing of Purim. That we exchange ourselves, we transform ourselves into all sorts of strange things. And yet maintain that clarity of faith, nonetheless. Says the Navi Yeshaya, Hoi ha'oimrim l'ra tov u'l'tov ra. Woe to those who make evil good and good evil. Samim choshech l'or v'or l'choshech. Those who label, so to speak, darkness as light and light as darkness. Samim mar l'matok u'matok l'mar. Those who place bitterness in place of sweetness and sweetness in place of bitterness. And they don't even understand what's what. Ad kedei kach efshar litos b'zeh ha'olam la'afoch l'metzias l'gamri. To such a degree, a person can make such a ta'us, such a mistake in this world, that he can see reality completely backwards. V'ashreinu v'shekibalnu v'sa Torah kadosh ha'idei Moshe mi'sinai. Ma'u tov u'ma'u ra. How lucky we are that we got the Torah which tells us this is good and this is not good. And it's not changing. It's immutable. It's an unchanging truth. Ma'u mar, ma'u matok. What's going to make you happy? What's going to make you sad? What's going to be bitter? What's going to be sweet? Vayidei kein, gam ba'olam ha'tmuras yoidim anu me'ha'emes. That in this world of confusion, we're able to keep our eye on the truth. Sha'ashem yisbach u'mavdil, turn the page, bein kodesh l'chol, kuf samach dal. Maybe you don't have to turn the page. I don't know. Kuf samach dal. Top of the next page. Between kodesh and chol, Hashem yisbach mora lanu, mashu kodesh, harehu kodesh noira. U'mashu chol, harehu chol. What's holy? What's mundane? And again, it's not always what's obvious. For a deep Jew, something which to a Jew who's not as deep, something could look mundane. To a Jew who understands it in a deep way, it's holy. For one person, it's just eating for the pleasure of eating and better to avoid it. For another person, it's a whole avoda to eat b'kedusha. The way he makes a bracha, the way he appreciates and thinks about the food that he's eating. Appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving him that food. So the Torah helps us to understand what's Kodesh, what's Chol, what's important, what's Ikr, what's Tafel, what's bitter, what's sweet, what's light, what's darkness. Even though we sometimes find ourselves so distant from Hashem that we ourselves live in a world of confusion, a world of Sveikos, a world of Amalek, of not knowing what's what. Again, the audacity for us to say, coming out of Mitzrayim, seeing the open hand of Hashem, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu amayin. Is God with us or not? That confusion is the world of Amalek. But we have to know, says Rabbi Yaakov Meshechta, we have to believe that the Torah is the answer. And the more we try to draw close to it, the more we'll have that clarity to know what's what and not get confused. Next paragraph. And yes, on a certain level, it's impossible to overcome the darkness of this world and to bask entirely in the light. Olam Hazeh is compared to Laila, says the Gemara in Bava Metzia. So until we defeat the Rishayim, there's always going to be this blending of light and darkness. Kamo Shirom Davar Pela, B'chol Ashirim Asher B'Torah, Shiras Moshe, Shiras Devora, Shiras Chana. All of the songs that are found in the Torah and the Navi. All these songs, right? Az Yashir and Shiras Devora and the song of Chana. All of these songs from Atzanu B'Torah. Shahauda Hashem Yisbarach Hu al Hachnas Ha'oivim V'Hachnas Ha'soinim Misoini Hashem. What are these songs? They're songs of celebration, thanking Hashem for finally subduing the evil. Finally, we've defeated the Mitzrim. Right? Let's sing about that. Thank you, Hashem. Kenemar b'Shiras Chana, like it says in Shiras Chana, Hashem yechatu mirivav. Hashem cuts down. Again, Amalek is the one who's also trying to cut. It's not cutting. Amalek has to do with trying to cut things away. Right? To cut things away from their origin, from their source. So thank you, Hashem, for cutting down, for chopping down the oppressor, the enemies. U'b'Shiras Hayam, marech b'mapalas par v'chelo. You ever think about it as Yashir? It's so graphic. It's telling us like the exact way that that Paro and his men suffered, and the horses, and the drowning. And there's endless Rashis. They're trying to do Shanayim Mikra, and like, never ends. All the details of how the Egyptians are suffering. Uvrov Gaoncha, Taros Kamecha. Eskola Oimdim, can I get Hashem Yisbarach, what Hashem's going to do to them. Or by the Shira of Devorah, it talks about the downfall of Sisera and his chariots and his armies. Like it says, Messiah Makasov, this is of course in Sefer Shoftim. Kein Yoivdu Kolevecha Hashem. Part of the song is a hope that so all the enemies of Hashem should meet a similar fate. Ki Iker HaKaras HaOr Baal Yedei Mapalas HaRasha. Because when the enemy falls, there's this awesome clarity that leads a Jew to burst out into song. Right? I mean, the songs of the Torah are a very holy section of the Torah. These songs are unbelievable giluyim. But it's specifically at these turning points where the enemy has this big mapala. Right? So we're waiting for that final song we're going to sing, the song, the Shir Chadash of Mashiach. But it's so interesting, the clarity a person gets when the enemy is finally, you know, vanquished. Sometimes we're searching to find Amalek, we want to destroy Amalek, we're not even sure where Amalek's found. Amalek is hiding so well. Sometimes you see an Amaleki, the way the Germans, Yimach Shemam, on a certain level, were so refined and so proper. What's that next word he has on the page? They appear gentlemen. Looks like a real gentleman. You know? Amalek will hold the door for you on the way into the gas chamber. You know what I'm saying? Like a real gentleman. Right? But they're sick and dangerous people. And we have to be able to identify that. That's part of their game. They create a suffix in our hearts. Wait, maybe this person's not so bad. Amalek's the worst. They may be completely obliterated. And maybe they're not so bad. They have this remarkable way. You ever read about Hitler's sensitivity to animals? His love for animals? As he murdered men, women, and children? By the millions. But we have a tradition. What is Amalek? Halacha, Esav sonei es Yaakov. It's a halacha, the way that Rashi brings it. Halacha, Esav hates Yaakov. Like we heard in the Beis Medrash a little while ago, about a month ago, whenever that was, from Rabbi J.J. Schachter. Right? The halacha that Esav hates Yaakov. It's not a, you know, sometimes true, sometimes not true. Halacha, it's a fact. That there's going to be enemies of the Jewish people. And we have to have the courage to identify them and to fight back. So let's end today with this amazing story. Listen to this story. Misuper ki b'Yerushalayim yer kodesh biker pam melech Ashkenaz. The last German emperor, Kaiser Wilhelm, came to visit Yerushalayim yer kodesh. Kaiser Wilhelm lived from 1859 to 1941. Until 1918, and he lived about 20 years after that. So sometime in the early 20th century, he came to visit Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh. Ulechvodo partzu chelak, again, prior to the state of Israel. Ulechvodo partzu chelak michom ha-seir etzel shar yafo, kedei shemar kavaso tucha la'avor. Right? And they opened things up they to allow his entourage to come. It was a chashuv thing. It was a big event. V'chinas melech poyretz geder. Right? They opened up, they breached part of the wall to allow him to, you know, his whole entourage to come through. As Chazal have such a concept, a melech is pirate together, a king can breach a wall. The mamish treated him like royalty, which he was. V'chol gedolei ador halchu l'kabel panov, u'bercho shechalak mikvodo l'basar v'dam. They made the bracha. There's a bracha that you make. The Gemara in Bracha says in Daf Tes, and again on Daf Yud Tes, and other Masechtos as well, that you should run to see non-Jewish kings, because when you see what a non-Jewish king is, you'll understand what a Jewish king is, you'll understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. So the Gemara encourages us to see non-Jewish kings, and there's a bracha that one makes upon seeing royalty. So the Gedolim came, as a sign of respect, they recited the blessing. However, Aval, Marina Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld Zatzal, Lo Yatza L'Kabel Panov. Rav Chaim Zannenfeld, that was his given name, later they added the name Yosef when he was sick. So sometimes you see Rav Chaim Zannenfeld, Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld, a good friend of Rav Kook, with a different view on certain essential issues. Rav Zannenfeld passed away in 1932. So Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld said, I'm not going out to greet Kaiser Wilhelm. Thanks, but no thanks. V'shalu, so they asked him,
Doesn't the Gemara say, Alo Amru Chazal? No, Brachos Daftes. La'olam Yetze Adam Lekras Malchei Umas Ha'olam. Doesn't the Gemara say you should go greet non-Jewish kings? It's a chashuv thing. There's a bracha that one recites. It's a chazal. It's a Gemara. So he said, listen to what he said. V'yan, he answered, Kibalti sha'ashkenaz huzera amalek. Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld said, and again, this was significantly before World War II, he said, I have a Kabbalah that Ashkenaz is a Malik, that Germans are a Malik. V'al amalek, ein barachim brachazu. And we don't make a brach on a Malik. We don't make a bracha. You see Hitler, Yimach Shemo, you don't make a bracha. You see Kaiser Wilhelm, I have a Kabbalah, we don't make a bracha on a Malik. Yeah. Yeah.
It has a Gemara that talks about the
Germania Sheldom. Yeah.
And it says this is Germania.
Right. And in the Ayiv it says Germania.
And I think the Gra also, the Gra says that Germania Sheldom
Germany.
Is German.
Yeah, Germany. It's a Malik. It's Esav. Adom is Esav. Yeah. It's pretty wild stuff. So he said, I'm not coming out. So if we would have been there, we would have said to Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld, what are you talking about? Kaiser Wilhelm is a Malik. What are you talking about? We would have said to Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld, you're not thinking straight. Shalo oz haya semel ha'noishis v'derech eretz v'tarbus v'nimos tapa pechkov samachai v'ashkenaz. Germany represented enlightenment. Germany represented Derech Eretz. Germany represented culture. Germans have a way of speaking that's very refined. They're an educated people. What are you talking about, a Malik? Malik's a barbaric people who attacked Klal Yisrael in the wilderness long ago. What are you talking about? Haya motzim tzimchoinim machmas brius. Aval sham hayu tzimchoinim harishonim mitzad rachmanis. Eichi tochein lishchot balchai ula ochlo. Right, he says. Now, they were shecht animals in a way of rachmanus. I mean, everything about the German way was very refined, was very sensitive. Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld, with his holy eyes, was able to see into the future. Shehem elu shenivro b'achzarios hatzuma al zer Yisrael. He said, no, this is the same Amalek of the past, and this is the same Amalek that's going to be right around the corner, and it was. Rahman l'tzlam. You're about to see Amalek rear its head like never before. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld had the vision to see it. It didn't matter how they looked from the outside. You see, that's also what Purim is all about. Amalek, if we use Germans as a model, Amalek is the most refined on the outside, and the most evil, the most rotten in the Shoyrash. The Jewish people sometimes were not so refined on the outside. It's upsetting sometimes. I took my son out for pizza the other day, and there's Jews who, have a minhag that when they're done, they just leave their garbage on the table. I hate that minhag. I hate that minhag. It's the worst minhag ever. Throw out your plate. Yeah, I know that guy's going to come around and clean it up. Yeah, and they're paying him. The restaurant's paying him to do that. Be a mensch, throw out your plate. You know, you leave your garbage. What if the next person wants to sit there? Right, what if the guy doesn't come around to clean it up yet? So now I'm standing there with my pizza and my son, and I'm cleaning up your garbage. Right? So we're sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes because Klai is so chashiv, we sometimes, think we can get away with things that we shouldn't. We shouldn't allow ourselves to get away with. But on the inside, a Jew on the inside, not much the most beautiful thing in the world. So a Malik presents on the outside, sometimes so proper, so refined, so cultured, so educated, so enlightened, right? So sensitive to animals as they slaughter Jews. Right? But on the inside, it's an evil that, like I told you, the Shari Shacharei, you got to dig it out to the roots of what is Zara Daf Memhei. By a Jew, it's the opposite. Sometimes on the outside, we're like that Jew that Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, is laughing at. An adam mechu'ar, an ugly person on the outside. An ugly person on the outside. Why do all you religious Jews dress the same? What's with you people? Why can't you, like, you know? Why are you sometimes not as, you know, your hygiene is not as good as it could be? You learn Torah all day. What's wrong with you? Right? So on the outside, sometimes we could use, yeah, we could be better on the outside. We could be better on the outside. There's places sometimes you visit, you know, you visit places where there's so much good Torah, and the outside's so messy. The outside's not the way it could be or should be. And it's not right. It's not a goal. Being sloppy and messy on the outside is not a goal. Lubavitcher Rebbe once saw a Yid, a young man, who someone had given a large sum of money for Bnei Yeshiva who were not, you know, able to afford new clothing for Yom Tov, to buy some new clothing for Yom Tov. So there was a bacher who was not of means, and he was given money to buy a new suit for Yom Tov. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe saw him wearing this new suit, and he saw the suit didn't fit right. It was big on him. It was a little schlumpy. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to him, "You got that nice new suit, but it doesn't fit well." So this bacher thought he would, like, impress the Rebbe, you know. So he said to the Rebbe, he's like, "Yeah, like, it's just like chitzonius, you know, like, it doesn't really matter, like, on the outside." The Rebbe's like, "You're so wrong. That's not, no. You bought a new suit for Yom Tov, it should fit properly. Of course it matters, right? Part of, you know, part of the whole way of the Lubavitcher Rebbe was elevating Olam Hazeh. What do you mean? Make the suit perfect. It should be perfect. Chabad Yom Tov should be perfect. Right? Lubavitchers sometimes do dress very nice on the outside. Lubavitchers are known to sometimes dress a little better than some other chassidim. Sometimes. Yeah, the outside does matter. But the biggest truth is that the inside of a Jew is always beautiful, regardless of what's on the outside. And a malek can sometimes be the most refined and most put together on the outside, but they're rotten to the core. And that's what Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld saw. Everyone else saw Kaiser Wilhelm on the outside and saw, Germany, representing culture and humanity and sensitivity. And only the tzaddik from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, could look into the future. The founder of the Eid HaCharedis in Yerushalayim. He had eyes to see into the future. Let's finish. You have to know what's what. How did Amalek survive? How is there a Haman in the world? One pasuk. Vayachamol Shaul al Agag. Shaul was told to finish off Amalek, and he gave Agag one extra night. And because Agag lived one extra night, he impregnated the woman, and Amalek lived on. Agag was eventually killed. He was chopped up. But because Shaul didn't finish the job and had a little misplaced Rachmanis on Amalek came back around. Right? It survived. The people of Amalek survived. Ki Agag hayenir b'chitzonius. Agag, the king of Amalek on the outside, looked okay. Al chemla tzuma. And it was hard. Shaul had Rachmanis on him. He didn't kill him. Aval Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi said, no, Amalek has to be destroyed. And Shmuel HaNavi took out his sword and chopped up Agag, very graphically destroyed, killed Agag. That in this gentleman, a gentleman on the outside, but Amalek on the inside. Uvo tamun oso ha'ish v'Hitler, yeah, oso ha'ish v'Hitler, and he saw within him oso ha'ish. Oso ha'ish is a code word for Jesus and for Hitler, right? Or maybe oso ha'ish here means Kaiser Wilhelm. He saw, he was able to see into the future. He saw all the negativity that's going to come from that world of Esav. How many Jews throughout history have been killed in the name of Christianity? Can't shy away from that fact. And therefore, Shmuel chopped up Agag. Shisu, he sliced him up into four portions. He chopped him up. And therefore, we need to be people who, again, keep our heads on straight with a proper emuna. And the way that we're able to be madab and kodesh l'chol ben or l'choshech, the way to understand what's what, is again by clinging to the MS of Torah. Okay, so Chavre, we learned a very important thing today. We learned about how to be on the lookout for Amalek, and we learned how to be very, very careful not to ever look at a lowly Jew who's struggling and look down on him and laugh at him. That's an Amaleki way of looking at a Jew who's amongst the Necha Shalom Acharecha. And by the way, the Svarim say, we are all from the Necha Shalom Acharecha. The Achres Hayamim, we're all the Necha Shalom. You read the Sedaros. On the outside, we're the lowest, but like Rav Simcha Bunor Peshischa said, there's an akuda inside of us
that's cooking and cooking and cooking throughout world history. There's a point inside of us that's stronger than anyone in history. On the outside, you read the Siddurah. We struggle to get dominion. We struggle to learn Torah. We struggle to control our Yetzer Hara. On the outside, we're a mess. But there's a point inside of us, Rav Simcha Bunim Parshishcha says, Rav Tzadok quotes it in Parshas Vayechi, in Pri Tzadik, there's a point inside, like a diamond being formed in a cavern, under tremendous heat and darkness and pressure, that's so illuminated. So we should be zeicha to be megala that, Megillas Esther, to megala that to the world. Okay, stop here. Shkoyach.